This Sunday, we're continuing our Advent series called Prepare Him Room, and we are to this great story in the New Testament when the angels come and announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds in the fields. And I don't know for sure, but I feel like that was the first explosion of joy on Christmas. I don't know if you know what I mean when I say an explosion of joy. There's these moments that come, and we all want one. We want so badly to see one every Christmas. There's those moments when somebody is just so overwhelmed, usually a child, just so overwhelmed that they just can't hold it in any longer. Kind of makes this noise like a boom. There's a story in our family's folklore of one time when I took the boys out to buy mom's present. I always have to take them out to buy mom's present, usually the Sunday before Christmas. And one year we came in and we had it all wrapped up and everything was just right. And our youngest was 3 years old, and this was the first time he got to kind of be part of that tradition. He was so excited, and so we made sure to school him in the car. You know, now you can't tell mom what it is. And he's like, okay, I won't tell her. And we let him carry the present in. He goes, hey, mom, we got you a present. It's a video game. And she was like, oh, okay. And, we keep telling that story because on one side, it's like, oh, you weren't supposed to do that. But on the other side, we're so glad he did. Right? You want that. You want someone to be so excited they just can't hold it in. You know, when the little kid opens his present and sees the Sky High Rescue playset, yay! Or when you see on the internet maybe somebody who's being surprised by their father or husband come back from the war, they don't expect to have them there on Christmas, and then they see them, and just that explosion, that just comes out. It's heartwarming. It's infectious. It just fills us with joy. And I really think that in this scripture passage that we're about to read, it's the first time that happened. The first Christmas Day explosion of joy. I don't know for sure. Okay, God doesn't let me in on his secret conversations with angels. But I think it happened something like this. The angels came up to God and said, it's happening! He's being born! And he said, I know. I'm aware of that. We gotta tell somebody. You can't tell anybody. It's a secret. We gotta let them know. You can't tell them. That would defeat the whole purpose. He's gotta come as a man. He's gotta live and die for them. We gotta tell somebody. Okay, there's these shepherds out here a long way from town. Nobody's gonna believe them anyway. You can tell them. And so the angels go, and that's where we'll pick up. In Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, please stand for the reading of God's Word. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You may be seated. Christmas Day is an explosion of joy. It is God's joy in His Son. It is our joy in a Savior. And the angels come to declare this joy, to say, this is the greatest thing that has ever happened. And He tells us why it's so wonderful in two ways. He says, first of all, it's wonderful because a Savior has been born. It's wonderful because, as Isaiah says, you will say in that day, I give thanks to you, O Lord. For although you were angry with me, your anger has been turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. A Savior has been born. We're not left to die in our misery. We're not left to die in our sin. We're not here stuck being the same thing that we've always been. We don't have to always be a slave to our personality or a slave to our addictions. We don't have to live a life of misery and loneliness and brokenness. We don't have to live a life with nothing to look forward to but death. We don't have to live a life of meaninglessness. A Savior has been born. And He's going to bring us out of that. And we're going to get to live it and celebrate it. And not only has a Savior been born, but as a result of that Savior, there is peace on earth. God is at peace with us. He's not angry with us anymore. I love the way this Isaiah passage says it. I give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away. Or the way 1 John says it when he says, perfect love, love has no fear. For perfect love has cast out all fear. The perfect love of God in giving us His Son has turned away all of God's anger toward us. He's not angry with us anymore. And I think for most of us, especially those of us who've grown up in the church, we don't believe that. We fear our Father. We live in fear of His disapproval, of His wrath. Every year at Christmas, we always watch that movie, The Christmas Story. You know about the little boy who wants the BB gun? And there's a scene in there where he kind of explodes on the school bully. He just kind of had enough, and the bully throws a snowball at him. So he just goes and he attacks the bully, and he's beating him up. And in the midst of just pounding on him, he realizes there's just this stream of profanity coming out of his mouth. And his mom comes and pulls him off the bully, and he immediately starts crying. And he goes home just crying, and his mom tries to calm him down. He goes and he lays in bed, and he says he lays down in just stark terror, for soon my father would be home. And they're so worried about what's going to happen when his dad gets home, and his brother goes and hides under the sink, and his mom finds little Randy under the sink and says, what is wrong with you? And he says, Daddy's going to kill Ralphie. And she tries to comfort him. Daddy is not going to kill Ralphie. So many of us have that feeling deeply embedded in us. I'm going to get it when I get home. You know, we were bad at school or we got a bad grade and we want to beg our teachers, spank us 10 times, but please don't tell my dad. And we're so afraid of what's going to happen when dad finds us, and we transfer all those feelings of dread and fear to God. And I want you to understand from this text, the point of Christmas is that God isn't angry anymore. Peace on earth, peace between God and man. He is not angry. This child that He has given us is the child of His love. It is the child of His joy. And if you get that, then Christmas should be an explosion of joy. It should be an explosion of joy. One of the great ironies in my brain, I just can't quite get it in here, is that every year I'll hear some Christian complaining that there's too much celebrating of Christmas going on. You know, you'll hear it every year. It's just like clockwork. You know, you'll hit Facebook and on sometime in November, and you'll see somebody going, I can't believe it, they're doing Christmas songs already. Guys, you can't celebrate Christmas too much. There's not too much Christmas celebration going on. If Christmas is not the day in your house that everybody is looking forward to, you're not doing it right. It should be the day. The day that all other days are compared to. When someone has a really good day, they should say, it's almost as good as Christmas. I mean, it is the day. God Himself can't withhold His joy over Christmas. The angels can't withhold their joy over Christmas. It is the day. And it is exciting, and we don't celebrate it too much. And people get worried. Well, the kids are just excited because of presents. Well, duh, of course. But why aren't we giving presents? Because God gave us His Son. And they'll figure that out one day. Don't worry about that. It is the day. It is the day of joy. It is the explosion of joy. And the thing about joy, the first thing I want you to see about joy is that it has a healing power. Joy turns us toward God. It doesn't drive us away. Joy turns us toward God. He says, when the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Joy does not make us go try to find fun other places. Joy turns us home toward God. He is the place to find true joy. I really fear so many of us, we hate confession of sin. We hate any kind of honesty. And every time we go to the Lord or even think of going to church, we think of bad report cards. You know, I'm going back to church with this report card, and I got a few gold stars on it, but I've got a lot of ugly check marks too, and I got a big fat C, and God's just going to give it to me. He's going to be so disappointed with me. And what I want you to understand is you're not a kid with a report card anymore. And the picture that the Bible gives us of holiness and of sin, it's not so much a list of do's and don'ts. And it's not, well, you did some good things, you went to church, you read your Bible, you did some bad things, told a lie. Holiness is directional. It's a power. And it's directional. You're either living your life coming toward God, or you're living your life going away from Him. And He is always delighted. The most amazing thing the Bible tells us is that God rejoices over one sinner who repents. That doesn't make sense to me. It seems like He's got a lot more exciting things to be excited about. But what makes Him thrilled is when one sinner repents. And knowing that makes us want to go toward home. It makes the shepherds want to go and find Jesus. It makes us want to go to Him. And that's healing to us. That draws us away from the things that addict us. It draws us away from the things that break us. It brings us to life. Joy is healing. Joy is holy. Joy is holy. Every year, you'll just see people continually worrying about this. If we preach too much grace, people are just going to go off and sin. You can't talk too much about God's love. I usually get corrected about twice a year. Somebody will say, you do a good job explaining God's love, but you just don't talk enough about His anger. Because He's not angry. He's at peace with us. Perfect love has cast out anger. And joy, the joy of the Lord is what will make people holy. You know what Satan said to Eve when he was trying to get Eve to sin? He said, is it true that God told you you can't eat from any of these trees? No, Eve said, no. God told me I can eat from any of these trees. I can't eat from the one in the middle. Oh, well, God told you that because that's the good one. Satan wasn't trying to tell Eve that God was too good, too gracious, too forgiving. He was making God out to be strict and stern and withholding. That's what makes us sin. We sin because we think God doesn't want us to have anything that's good. It would be like taking a child this time of year when everybody's making out their wish list, taking a child and sitting them in the middle of Toys R Us and saying, is there anything in here you might like? And the kid just goes insane. He can't talk fast enough. He develops a speech impediment. He's like, yeah, this and that. And then you pick that child up and you look him in the face and you say, you'll get nothing. You weren't good enough. I mean, no parent would put a child in the midst of a toy store just so you could say, you'll get nothing. But we think God has done that to us all the time. Surrounded us with people out there who are enjoying things more than us and said, you can't have what they have. You're not going to get it because you're not good enough. If you want your parents, if you want your children to grow up to be holy, demonstrate for them how joyous, how wonderful, how giving, how generous God is. Again, I get tickled. I really do. I don't take it very seriously, but I get tickled because parents are so scared, aren't they? Aren't we all just kind of terrified? Maybe we're going to do something wrong, and my kid's going to be the next Charles Manson because I did something wrong. And so I'm so worried. I want to do everything just right. And, you know, one of the things that scared parents just worry about so much is holidays. Got to do it right. I don't want them to think Christmas is about anything but Jesus. So we're not going to do anything but read the Bible on Christmas. And, you know, if we celebrate Santa Claus, my kid's not going to grow up to believe in Jesus. Now, I don't care what you do in your family is fine. But I just want you to know this. After I did 11 years of campus ministry, I've heard many, many testimonies from Christian children who've walked away from the faith. I've heard many stories. Not a single one of them said to me, I rejected Christianity because of Santa Claus. Never heard that. What I did hear was that Christianity was all about rules. I grew up in a very strict home and there was no joy. And I found out that there was fun to be had outside of Christianity. That's where all the fun was to be had. I heard that a lot. And I want you to know that really affected the way I parent. And there's a lot of things I'm doing wrong. There's a lot of things I'm doing wrong. My kids have got 1,000 reasons to reject Jesus, but it's not because Christmas wasn't fun. If nothing else, my kids do not know what presuppositional apologetics are, and they don't really understand covenantal headship as much as they should, and they have not memorized the Westminster Shorter Catechism the way they should, but man, they know that if they want to have fun on Christmas, home is the place to do it. If they want to have fun on the 4th of July, they will not find a better party than my party. If they want to find fun on Halloween, they will not find a better party than my party. They may reject Jesus because I'm a jerk, but they will not reject Him because I'm boring. We are the people who have joy. We're the only people who have the reason to celebrate. And our lives should be one long celebration. God is not dour. He is not angry. He is not judgmental. He is jovial. I bring you good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. And that is what we should live with. If the Old Testament teaches us anything, it should teach us this. Threats and law do not produce holiness. God's love and His Son produces holiness. I stood on the stage right here yesterday, and I told a man, I gave him a very strict law. I said, you cannot touch another woman for the rest of your life. Gave him the most strict sexual ethic in the world. You have to forsake all others for this one lady. I didn't see him looking around the room longing for all these other women. I had to separate him when I told him he could kiss his bride. I was like, dude, you got to quit. That's just going on a little long. It's not the law that's going to keep him from all these others. It's the joy. It's the joy. Christmas is good news of great joy. And that is a healing power, and that is a holy power, and that is an infectious power. It is an infectious power. When they saw it, when the shepherds saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. What? They went and told people about Jesus? If you want to get people to tell people about Jesus, you got to make them feel guilty. You have to give them programs. You got to have accountability. No. You got to let them know the joy. Joy is infectious. You can't help but tell people about joy. You can't help but spread joy. That's why when I'm talking to other pastors and they want to know what our evangelism program is, I tell them, I don't have one. I just want people to like the church. I figure if they like it, they'll tell people about it. If they don't like it, they probably won't. If they don't like it, I don't really want them telling people about it. They'll probably say something bad. So, we're just going with that. You tell people about things that give you joy, and it spreads. And others want to know where you find it. I saw this demonstrated in a great way a few weeks ago. I watched this documentary called Alive Inside. And it's about this music teacher who started working with Alzheimer's patients and patients with dementia. And no one was able to do anything with them. And he found out that when he played music for them from their childhood, they would come alive. They would just come alive. And it was amazing to everybody who saw it. This one PhD who had been studying Alzheimer's for 40 years said, he'd been studying for 38 years, he said, in 38 years of studying medicines and everything that's been tried, I have found nothing that comes close to the effect of music therapy on Alzheimer's patients. And for $80 a patient, for $80, just enough money to buy an iPod, put together a song list, and get a nice set of headphones, he could do just wonders with these people. And he could not get anyone to fund it. He went to Steve Jobs. He went to the head of Apple. He could not get them to fund it. He could not get them behind it. Nobody would fund it. And finally, somebody took a video of a man named Henry, this older black man who sat huddled up with his head on his chest all the time. And if you ask Henry a question, his answer, no matter what the question, his answer was always, I don't know. He gets scared, feel like he's being pushed into a corner. I don't know. And they put headphones on Henry and they played him music from his childhood, from his teenage years, Cab Calloway. And his eyes got huge. And he started singing with the music. And then they took the earphones off of him and they said, describe, what does music do for you? And he says, music is about love. The world needs love. The world needs music. And they put that on YouTube, and as of this morning, it had 1.6 million views. And money started pouring in for the program, and music therapy programs started sprouting up all over the country because statistics are boring. But joy. Can't hold joy. If you're really excited about that present, you're going to tell mom what you got her. Not even the angels could withhold their joy over Jesus. Can't hold joy. And that is the power of Christmas. That is the explosion of joy. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we pray that you would take away the coldness and the scales from our eyes and enable us just to dance with the joy that you have. The joy you have over one sinner who repents. The joy you have over your son being born. The joy you have over your children turning towards you. I pray that we would feel that. I pray that we would know that the greatest joys in the world are to be found in you. In you. With you. And I pray that we would turn towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.